seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner for Caddy for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
I was so pleased to just be there and be playing at Augusta.
Everybody understand? There is silence. Hearts stop. Hearts stop beating.
Arnold now, a side hill 20-footer. The line is perfect. He's got it!
Never in the history of golf has a more popular champion been crowned. Jack Nicklaus, for the sixth time, has won the Masters Golf Tournament.
Now, this is pretty neat, pretty special. This is Augusta National. This is Bobby Jones's place. That's the clubhouse. This is it.
Hard to believe, 21 years old. This for the record.
There it is, a win for the ages.
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
It's pretty special, you know, to be a part of such an elite company like that. I've been pretty fortunate, pretty lucky to have had some success in this golf course.
You just see him in front of the fire with a pipe. Well, you're not allowed to do that now. He'll be in bed in an hour and a half's time with a bowl of gruel, electric blanket on low.
He's missed it, and he's knocked it. He's knocked it 3.5 feet past the hole.
Oh, no. Oh my word, he's chunked it. He has chunked it, and Jordan Spieth is sinking without trace of the Masters. This is extraordinary.
He's done it. What a way to finish. Oh, what a way to finish. That really is wonderful. He's answered a whole lot of questions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the 2018 Masters champion, Patrick Reed.
I was going to start this podcast with a fake American accent, doing my best Jim Nance, going a tradition unlike any other. And then Connor Sketches released his latest video yesterday, and he's doing Jim Nance saying just that. So he's kind of ruined it for everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to Golf Weekly. It is our Masters preview special. Peter Lowry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nathan.
Fionn Davenport, good afternoon.
Gentlemen.
I can't help but notice that Joe Malloy is not here.
Masters week, how could he?
Just doesn't care enough. To quote his message from earlier, screw you guys. Unless we're at a golf course with a couple of hundred friends of the pod, I just don't care for Masters previews. This is the first year in quite a while we've actually been stuck in studio for our Masters preview.
Yes.
Generally, we've been taking advantage of your hospitality out in Luttrellstown.
I offered my hospitality in Spawell.
Not that the listeners care, but we're very busy at the moment.
So I've noticed.
And we struggled to get it organised in time. But we are going to do a preview show for the other majors at various different places, including at the Spawell Golf Academy.
Well done.
Did you get your, I'm going to get the name wrong again, shot tracer in?
Top tracer.
Top tracer.
You're getting close.
Top tracker it was
you
last week.
You haven't had a go of it yet.
No, so. I haven't been down. I'm very busy right now. But next week, I'm going
more
to be down.
Than welcome. And I'd like to hear Fionn's feedback on it. Being
I'd like to try it.
Perfect sports writer that he is, and you know,
Peter, you flatter me.
I know.
Is
I
it
know.
Busy? Is it going well?
It's very busy and it's going nicely. Yes.
Can you play Augusta?
Not yet. You can play Pebble Beach on it. Right. They're bringing St Andrews onto it as well now. Shortly.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. What do you do for your putting on it?
You chip towards a hole, course towards the small little flags. So if you get it inside a circle. It's a one putt, and if you miss the circle, then it's a two putt.
All right.
So we flatter people by, you know, one putts or two putts.
Well, we'll bring some listeners out over the next few weeks and get them to test it out.
I think we might run a competition, and I might give something away.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When's this going to happen?
I don't know.
This is going to be the Masters preview. Is always a busy one. What do you want to give away? Our production
meeting live on air.
What are you giving away? You know, we charge for this personally. You'll have to write me a check.
Do we? Right. Well, what about a full session on Top Tracer? A couple of hours.
Right.
For you and your friends.
Well, how many friends? you know, if I win this, I could be bringing 13 other people. How many friends? Say, well, you and three friends.
Okay.
So then it's your four ball can get to go.
Absolutely.
Okay. So how do they win? I'll tell you what you do. You tweet. What's your Twitter handle?
Mine is...
No, what's the Spawell Twitter handle?
That's a good question.
I'll find that out now in the next 5 seconds. Okay. Maybe we should get people to tweet us their Masters winner.
There you go. And we'll
so it's at tweet at Golf Weekly OTB and at Golf Spawell with your name and who you think will win the Masters, and then we'll narrow it down to all the people who guess. If nobody guesses it, we'll throw them all into a hat and we'll announce the winner next week.
Perfect.
Simple as that.
Very good. These production meetings should be just left for live on air.
We should have left it for the end of the podcast because we had a big intro planned. So what is the storyline you're most looking forward to over the next 4 days at the 83rd Masters? Rory McIlroy becoming the first European golfer to win a Grand Slam. Tiger Woods winning number 15. Or the one we all really want, Jordan Spieth rubbing it in Peter Lawrie's face that he is back.
I knew you'd come back with that one. I really did. Fionn, did you think that as well? He'd come back with Jordan Spieth.
Well, Nathan and I cannot hide our love for Jordan.
Wow.
It's just...
And Joe.
It's,
I am the only realistic here. I have realism here. You know what I mean? I threw it out there.
Right, we'll get into all the various contenders for this week. But what do you most look forward to of Masters Week?
Oh, you know, TV, sitting in front of it, watching. And funny enough, I got a lot of text messages lately from Beau Martin, who's caddying for Shane, who's actually there. And I was saying to him, really, I'm jealous of the photographs you've taken and all the information you've given me about what Augusta's like. And a few friends have been over there and they go on a yearly basis. But I just love sitting down watching it. You get to see all the shots and how it's played and how difficult it is. And it's entertainment.
What has he been telling you?
He's telling me that Shane Lowry's playing very well. Driving
well at Augusta previously, didn't he have a brilliant first round? Remember at one stage he was 5 under after 8 in the first round?
That's right, yeah. So he's driving the ball very well, his iron play is very good, his short game is excellent, and what he did say to me, and for all the people who are let's say, you know, who like sort of gambling out there, the golf course is playing very, very difficult. And he singled out one hole in particular. He said the fifth hole is nearly impossible.
Why?
I didn't get into it. It was 12 o'clock last night, and not like you, I didn't go, why?
That's exactly what you should have asked.
Absolutely.
So I would have thought because of the rain, and it seems to have been pretty much torrential rain for the last 2 or 3 days, and they've had thunderstorms, and all those people who flew over for the practice days have been fecked off the course after a couple of hours, that actually it would have softened up and should make it somewhat easier.
They have tremendous sub-air systems though, don't they, in Augusta? Mm. And they can dry it out very quickly, so I wouldn't worry about that. But he's just saying it's playing very, very difficult, so let's look for a winner out there who's hitting it a long way and is playing well at the moment.
Only somebody came to mind.
Don't say Jordan Spieth, please.
Don't say Jordan Spieth. Fionn, what are you looking forward to over the next 4 or 5 days?
Well, given that I'm going to say this amateurishly, booked my holidays without realizing that it was the week of the Masters, I am looking forward to trying to sneak away from my wife to get at least an hour of Masters every night. But first of all, trying to locate a pub in Fuerteventura. So if any of the listeners know where I might be able to watch some of the Masters in Fuerteventura.
Would you go to one of their houses?
Probably not, because... Okay. Because I can't
not
just
a die hard,
45
really.
Minutes. Yeah. No. I'm serving several Masters here, no pun intended, in that I'm meant to be on holidays with my wife. And so I can't say, right, listen, I'm off now. I'll see you. I'll be late tonight, so it's going to be actually, do you know what I just realized? Don't the Masters have on their app you can watch at least part of it? So I think I might be reduced to that. But in terms of play, I'm looking forward to Jordan Spieth following up on his miracle fourth round from last year. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I have also been a victim of bad planning, so I've organized a table quiz for Friday night for my kids' school. Wow. So that okay. rules me out for all Friday night, pretty much. And then Sunday, I'm at Liverpool against Chelsea, which is good in its own right.
Yeah.
But my flight home is until 10:30
on
Sunday night out of Liverpool Airport, which anybody who travels on a regular basis will know is without question the worst airport in the world for a variety of reasons. There's no Wi-Fi in it. There's rarely any food in any of the restaurants. So actually trying to find a television to watch it on is going to be a challenge. So I am tempted to just record it, switch off my phone, come home at midnight, and sit down and watch the last 3 hours. It does take away a lot of the fun of it.
Yeah.
The alternative is that I just watch it on Sky Go for as long as possible, miss the sort of, it's only half an hour flight, miss the half an hour while I'm on the plane.
But when you get to London, when you get to Dublin and you get in the taxi to go home,
this is the problem.
The taxi driver's going to go,
did you see what happened? Yeah. McIlroy, bloody hell. Yeah. Who could have predicted?
And you're gutted.
Ah, friend of the pod.
Yeah. Right.
I'd get a hotel room.
See, if I thought of it, I wouldn't mind, but generally I have to be home because I have to bring my kids to school on the Monday morning.
Okay.
And they're off school for the Easter holidays. But again, like Fionn, when I was planning out my year, I had in my head that the Masters was last weekend, that it should have been last weekend, and that has screwed me over rightly.
Yes, exactly.
So, what are we looking for then this week? McIlroy. Let's talk Rory first.
Very consistent lately. Can he not put pressure on himself and actually go out there and play the way he has been playing? Strikes the ball beautifully for Augusta. Great shape. He seems to be putting a whole lot better than he was. Look, he's a strong, strong contender. But it's very difficult to having this much pressure on him on himself and being put on him to finish off his Grand Slam.
Mm. McIlroy's record at Augusta has got progressively better. So he's over a decade of experience. Obviously, he should have won it in 2011, and we all know what happened there. But he's finished inside the top 10 each of the last 5 years without ever really contending on a back nine. Obviously, last year at the second hole, we know what happened and the shoulder slump and it all falls apart. But the question mark, Rory's entire season comes down to putting himself into position on the back nine.
For this one tournament.
Mm.
Not for any other tournament.
That's what defines his season.
Yeah.
Sunday evening, and he has to firstly get himself into position, and then he has to finish it off. No pressure, Fionn. No pressure.
No. Although, just reading about his overall prep, I'm assuming that he's been gearing everything towards this week, but not just this week, but obviously it's going to serve him for the season ahead, is that he's been reading some self-help books. I had a look at some of these. You know, Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way? You know this book? So he's been, he was asked to name the four books that he's read, and they're all self-help books, and two of them are by Ryan Holiday. But I know The Obstacle is the Way because a friend of mine had given it to me like last year sometime. And so it's based on, it's actually really old stuff. It's Stoicism. So it's about, there are obstacles. It's about just accepting the thing that is exactly as it is. It's not worrying about, oh, we need to change that or we need to change this. It's just, so instead of turning obstacle into something that we're afraid of, we turn the obstacle into something that is just part of the thing. And so absolutely nothing to be afraid of. All very positive. He's also been using this facility in Florida called the Central Institute for Human Performance. And apparently, and now this is a company that has a philosophy all about preparing people, I'm quoting here, to look 2 to 3 plays ahead of problems related to your health and performance. And he was seen with Dr. Clayton Skaggs, who is the CEO of said, or the founder of this place, who's a chiropractor. And Brad Faxon apparently was the guy who turned them onto it. So it's this, and it's kind of strange because when you consider that in the past, Rory certainly in his public persona has been loath to concede that the mental side of his game really needs anything.
Mm.
And by certainly taking these steps, he can't but he's taken obviously this very holistic approach to the game. So it's not just about the actual physical game, but it's also the head of it. And I mean, I think it's all really good stuff. And I mean, I don't know that he'll win because he is putting better. But, and we'll talk about Tiger shortly, is, you know, it's the reason why I don't think Tiger has a chance of winning. But he's put himself in a better position than he has done for years. And not just by virtue of his good results thus far and his win at the Players. It's, he just seems in this brilliant space. And I thought that the quote that he says is, he goes, look, if it doesn't happen this week, that's totally fine. I'll come back next year and have another crack at it. But I'm happy with where everything is, body, mind, game. I thought that was very, very positive.
He's been talking this way for 3-4 months, and obviously a lot of it comes from Brad Faxon and seems to be reading a lot of what Brad Faxon read, because for all Brad Faxon can do on the technical side of his putting, the biggest problem, and something Faxon was obviously probably wary of, was that when one little thing goes wrong for Rory, the putting can collapse very quickly.
You can
have a couple of bad holes, it's fine, but getting into the mentality of being able to bounce back and building some resilience. I do just wonder, and Rory again saying the right thing, listen, he's going to have another 20 chances probably to complete the career Grand Slam, and maybe pressure builds each and every year it goes by. But for golfers, and for McIlroy in particular, it's always seemed, you know, everything is right with something until it goes wrong. And that it's all very well being positive. But if he doesn't win this week, there's going to be huge skepticism of everything we've seen from him already this year as to how much we could truly believe it, because he didn't deliver on a major. And I just wonder as well, like, it's all very well having a positive attitude and having a very full life. If he doesn't win this week, I think the questions will be again, well, you know, does he want it enough? You know, having a balance in life is great. Winning majors is better.
Absolutely.
I have to say, I'll say one thing, and I think Brandel Chamblee tweeted this yesterday. There hasn't been, the favourite hasn't won at Augusta in 14 years, since Tiger Woods in 2005. So if Rory doesn't win, I would argue strongly that it's not reflective of any failure on his behalf, but just the vagaries of golf. And second of all,
just on that. So, and obviously, listen, the statistics back it up that favourites struggle here, and there's probably more depth than there's ever been, so it's more difficult. But you can't kind of just put everything down to the vagaries of golf.
No, okay.
Tiger Woods ignored the vagaries of golf.
But Tiger Woods is an anomaly, a golfing anomaly, the likes of which golf had never seen before, with maybe the exception of Jack Nicklaus, but not even Jack Nicklaus. Woods is an outlier. Woods is the giant red star in a firmament of small little stars. You cannot make, there are no statistical comparisons. He skews every statistic. So, but when you compare, I was talking to a friend of mine who produces another podcast, not a golf podcast, but another podcast. And we were talking about Dustin Johnson. And he was saying, but Dustin Johnson's a real flame out. And I'm like, is he though? It's really hard to win. Like, he's won every year for whatever it is, 11 years. He's established a consistency that's been thereabouts for a long, long time. And yeah, like, he won a major and then didn't really push the pedal down and go on to win multiple more. But like, is it Dustin Johnson has failed, or is it just that it's really hard to win in golf?
I think it's very, very hard to win in golf in general. And now we have such a vast array of players who can win this week.
Yeah.
Like, you could have 10, 15, possibly 20 guys this week that, you know, we all could say, jeekers, why didn't I pick him out? He should have won. Like, you know, Francesco Molinari, people rarely talk about him. Brooks, the same thing, always under the radar. Both of them fantastic players. Your pick, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Rory, Jordan Spieth, keep on going, you know what I mean? And there's guys out there that can, you know, win at, you know, any particular week. This is probably one of the tightest Masters there ever has been. And, you know, will we see somebody come out of the pack? I think so. I'd much prefer if Rory was turning around and telling everybody he was playing rubbish. And, you know,
why?
a bit like Porrick Harrington's style of the way to, you know, doing things, take the pressure off himself. But he seems to be putting an awful lot of pressure on himself by saying that he's playing well.
But he is playing
statistic,
well. He just won the players a month ago.
I know, but I'd still like to see him, you know, not keep on saying I'm playing great, yeah, and, you know, this is going to happen.
Everything is perfect.
Exactly.
We've had four first-time winners or single winners in a row over the last 4 years in Spieth, Willis, Garcia, and Reed.
Reed, yeah.
Interesting, and again, I was kind of looking at the statistics. Because Augusta's played on the same course every year, that even though they've lengthened it, fundamentally remains more or less the same. 47 of the 82 previous winners are multiple winners, which is, again, is another statistical anomaly for almost any other golf tournament played. And so roughly, well, over half the winners have won more than once. So it suggests that experience is the thing that counts here. Now, there's no denying, Nathan, as you said, he's, you know, Rory's had 10 goes at this and, you know, he's as primed as anybody to win it. But the fact that you've had these single off winners over the last 4 years, although Spieth is an interesting one. He lost a major, won a major, and then lost one, you know, in each almost spectacular fashion. But and it goes back to something that I mentioned on the pod a couple of weeks ago. Tiger Woods was talking about the leveling out of technology, and this may play into something you said, Peter, which is that with these 460cc heads now, with the massive sweet spots, like hitting a 300 plus is not that big a deal for the top 30 guys in the world. It really isn't. And Augusta is very, very challenging, but it's not very tight. So long as you can find the big open fairways and you can putt, you're in with a good chance of winning. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that winning is easy, but is it easier now, maybe, than it has been? And I'm speaking in relative terms. Is it easier now than it has been in the past? And I guess that's the question I'm asking.
To win, I would say.
For guys to win, as you say, that the deeper fields.
Absolutely, yes, because technology has brought everybody so much closer.
Yeah.
And everybody hits the ball now, as you said, kind of over 300 yards. Everybody is, you know, gathered together in a group, and it's very difficult to pick out that one person. You know, and it's not like a horse race or anything like that, because you know, they don't really have to do much other than fucking run, you know what I mean? Golf is, it's got so many different attributes to it that really it's the guy who gets kind of lucky at the end of the day who wins the golf tournament. And now that's the case. Previous to this, it was the guy who probably played the best. Now everybody's playing a very similar standard, and it's just somebody who either lips into the hole or lips out of the hole.
Looking at the odds for this, actually, the one thing you should probably point out is that the Masters is the easiest event of the year to pick the winner, because it's a reduced field. You can rule out all the debutants, because you have to go back to Fuzzy Zeller in 79 for the last time a debutant won. You can rule out probably another 15 guys who are 45 and 50 years and over who aren't going to win this. It's probably another 10 guys who are absolutely struggling for form. So you come down to 25, 30 guys, and you're, again, going for experience. The betting for it is, McIlroy is the favourite, 6-1. Then you have Dustin Johnson at 9-1. Justin Rose, who'll come into it as the world number one, at 11-1. Tiger, 14-1. Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, all 16s. Then you have Molinari, Spieth, Fleetwood, Casey, Kepka, DeChambeau, Matsuyama, all under 25-1, which means you do have Bubba Watson, who, as Fionn said, you know, horses for courses and all that, has won it twice. Lefties have a pretty good record around here, which brings me down to, where's Phil? 35-1. No.
Well, funny enough, you were going through that betting. I was reading a similar thing last night, and they broke it down, and they kept on breaking it down to that they got two players. Mm. One was McIlroy, and the other one was Ricky Fowler. And that was his pick. Either Ricky Fowler or Rory.
Well, that's again where I guess the mental side of it comes into it, because they fit every statistic going.
Yep.
But Rory's going to be on the back nine looking to join five others in modern times as a career Grand Slam winner. And Ricky Fowler is the biggest choker out there.
Exactly.
So we must ring him and tell him that one, Nathan. Okay. And I love Ricky Fowler, and I would love to see him win the Masters so that he finishes all that. But he hasn't won enough tournaments for his talent. A couple of other stats. First time since world rankings began that not a single member of the world's top 10 has previously won the Masters. So not one of the world's top 10 has won the Masters before.
Wow.
And also Dylan Byrne, who works for 15th Club, who was in with us, what, 3-4 months ago after they helped out Bjorn at the Ryder Cup, went through some of the stats, says none of the last 10 Masters winners entered the week with negative strokes gained off the tee or strokes gained approach. Notables who fit those, so in a negative way, include Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Billy Horschel, Francesco Molinari. He said those who fit the strokes gains trend coming into the Masters, so in a positive sense, Rory, DJ, JT, Tiger, Charles Howell, definite first round leader bet, Charles Howell, Cooch, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Patrick Cantlay.
Mm. See, you can just keep on naming them, and each one of them has a chance. And that's where you get an awful lot. You come on to a show like this, or you come on to something else, and you say, like, who's going to win the Masters? People are coming in and out of Spawell the whole time and saying, right, who's going to win the Masters? And it's like, jeekers, I don't know.
Rory.
You know,
just say Rory and get on with
it. Keep on saying Rory.
Yeah. I was in American Golf, the shop here in England, and I was buying some shoes to take away to Spain with me. And so they gave a draw. So it was like, you're paying, you can just put your name down for a draw. I'm assuming it's just a bit of data mining for American Golf. But but that's clearly what it has to be. But I drew Charlie Hoffman, and I was just like, oh.
Charlie
and
Hoffman?
Like, but he almost won the Texas Open last week.
Yeah, and he's been playing his
Masters. Okay.
Yeah, but his Masters record is quite good, is it not?
Yeah, he's generally someone who turns up in these majors, and on a Saturday night he's leading. And
there's another guy, haven't even mentioned him yet, Mark Leishman.
Mm.
Mark Leishman throws, he just loves majors. He might as well not play any other golf tournament and just play majors, because he turns up at majors and doesn't turn up at normal tournaments.
So McIlroy tomorrow is playing with Ricky Fowler and also Cameron Smith. Ricky Fowler was actually runner-up last year, just ahead of Jordan Spieth, behind Patrick Reed. They're in the group straight after Tiger. So Tiger is teeing off at just after 4 o'clock Irish time tomorrow. That's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. He's with Lee Hautong and John Rahm. Do you want to be in the group just after Tiger?
Yes.
No. Really?
Well, if you're in the group before him, you have everybody running on top of you. If you're, because people are keeping ahead the whole time. So behind him is okay, because all the gallery have moved onwards, you know what I mean, to watch Tiger.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
And they're not, if you're in the group in front of him, it's a nightmare, because everybody's moving at all stages.
Patrick Reed obviously looking to go back to back. He had the champions dinner, went all out.
I wasn't impressed with the menu, were you?
Cowboy ribeye for the main course, along with two salad options, a collection of creamy side dishes including macaroni and cheese and corn creme brulee. A nice looking cheesecake for the dessert as well.
Not a roast potato in sight.
What would you go with?
Not a chip. Not a few prawns, a bit of lobster to start with.
Well, what would you go with?
I definitely would have had prawns to start with. Yes, I would have had steak, but I like kind of filet. And dessert, I'm not really a dessert man at all.
You see, I think we touched on this before. If an Irish person wins it, I don't think you get free rein in what you select, because all the Irish tourist boards are going to put so much pressure on you to make sure you have the finest of Irish everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you will have a prime...
I thought you
were
going to say bacon and cabbage or something.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
No. No, definitely not.
No, but it would be like with, it'd be like Irish potatoes with Irish butter and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Patrick Reed's family had turned up at the Ryder Cup.
Not just the Ryder Cup. They showed up at the Players.
Yeah.
As well.
And we're just there, rocking out, having a good time.
Wow, they just can't let go, can they? Let them go.
Karen Kraus wrote a very good piece in the New York Times. I'll put it on the Golf Weekly Twitter account. I'll on his ongoing family issues. And so, just quick primer reminder: this all starts in 2012, apparently, when he marries his wife, to the chagrin, or so we're led to believe, of his wife. So, Reed's parents live only 6 miles away from Augusta, you know, like, and by all accounts, the house, do you remember when they wrote the piece, was it in 2015? Yep. There was that big piece about him. So there's this shrine to Reed's son in the house, their grandson, which Reed has never visited with his son. So the so there's this weird kind of strange setup where you've got this room that's set up with photographs of the grandson that the grandson's never been in. Anyway, so they show up with the players, but Reed didn't know that. So his father's at the back of the green. And he was asked about it. And he said, oh, he didn't really, he played rubbish, but he didn't. He was asked about it. And he said, he was asked if he had noticed his father and sister in the front nine. He says, I would have called for security to throw them out.
Yeah, now, it's messy.
There is a problem there is unless the father misbehaves, the security can throw them out. But aside from that, like, but it really does. So here we are in 2019 and it's as entrenched as ever. Karen Kraus asked Reed's parents for a comment for this article and they declined with his mother saying, at this time, we have no comment on this subject and we hope you will respect the privacy of Hannah, Bill and myself. But it's clear that there is absolutely no resolution or softening at all to the feud between Patrick and his family of origin. And given, as I said, that they only live a few miles away, there is nothing he can do to stop them from showing up.
You can't beat a family feud, can you? They just seem to go on and on and on.
Didn't do him any harm last year, though.
No.
I think he's more worried about what's going to happen this year on the Sunday evening when he has to hand that green jacket to his old buddy Jordan Spieth.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Here, let's run down through some of the other contenders then and get your thoughts on how they might play. Dustin Johnson, already won twice this year, has finished top 10 in his last three appearances at the Masters. Obviously, when he was absolutely flying a couple of years ago, he fell down the stairs. Do you give him a chance?
I do, of course, yeah. Very much so. Got the game for it, got the mentality for it, and we'll see how it goes.
Fionn?
I think he's a very good bet. There's two guys that I think are terrific bets. I want Spieth to win. I don't think he's a good bet, though. Justin Johnson is definitely one of them. And do you want to know the other one?
We'll come to him. We'll get your tips at the end. Right. For some reason, I just don't see Dustin Johnson as a Masters winner. I can see him winning all the others.
Oh, he'd put on that jacket lovely, you know what I mean? Big shoulders on him. Big head
Can
on
you
him.
Imagine the interview in the Butler cabin afterwards?
Oh my God, Jim Nance and Dustin Johnson. That's just TV made in heaven, isn't it?
Fantastic.
It's just perfect really to put you to sleep.
Well.
Brandel Chamblee this week described Brooks Koepka's weight loss, not 3 stone as Joe Molloy initially reported, but just over a stone. Chamblee described it as reckless self-sabotage. Koepka admitting during the week that, yeah, just don't feel right still. Maybe went a little bit too far.
But why?
He did confirm it was for the ESPN body issue, didn't he?
No. No, that was speculation.
Oh, I thought I saw some confirmation that was the reasoning behind it.
Well, I believe that was speculation. But he would have had to lose muscle rather than fat because he is all muscle. So that's going to seriously affect his golf game.
His record at Augusta progressively getting better. He probably actually hits a lot of the markers in that he finished 33rd, 21st, and then 11th last year. So he's got the hang of the course. And
he's learning it.
He just turns up in these weeks and delivers.
And we know that he's playing exceptionally well there.
Mm.
So a little birdie told me.
What do you mean by exceptionally well?
Well, the feedback I got was that he's playing very well.
This is your mate, Bo.
No, couldn't tell you that.
It's your mate, Ricky Elliott.
No, he's playing very well.
Playing very well?
Yes.
Did you get that nod before previous major
wins? But I still
wins?
Wouldn't put money on him.
Okay. So you don't respect the person who told you that enough?
I do, but look, I just don't think he's...
His caddy tells you he's playing well and you're going to turn your nose up in it.
No, look, I am a serious doubt losing that kind of weight actually helps you.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm avoiding all such.
Absolutely. Look at you. You're built for comfort, not for speed.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh,
isn't that it?
Yeah. That'll be edited out. I could sue you for libel for that.
Yeah, well, sure. Look, how many times have I nearly been sued on this show already?
Well, it's only for our editing skills. You wouldn't need me working here.
I'm not working.
Phil Mickelson to win a fourth green jacket, Fionn?
Not a chance.
What? I'm glad I've got to a stage of my life where I no longer back Phil. Oh, my God. The amount of times he drove me demented. Do you remember
what year was it where you had the triple bogey at the seventh? The par three is the seventh is the par three, isn't it? And it's fairly straightforward. You just don't want to go. No, maybe it was the sixth.
You don't want to be short.
You don't want to be short and left.
Yeah.
And he was short and left, and instead of just popping it out, he tried to be a bit smart. Oh, and he triple bogey, and oh.
That was the end of his Masters.
He
that was
tends 50 to generally throw in a triple bogey somewhere along the line. What about John Rahm, fourth last year?
Yeah, it's not a. What odds is he?
16-1.
It's not a bad bet.
Don't know.
It's a pretty good bet actually.
Temperament,
very key there. And has he got the patience and stuff like that to play Augusta?
Justin Rose, world number one. There's a man who you can see wearing a green jacket.
Oh yes, yeah. I can see the cheesy tweet already. The only one thing I say about Justin Rose is his putting under pressure.
Mm. You don't think it's up to much?
No. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a brilliant golfer. His swing is absolutely superb. He's changed it into, you know, nearly perfection. But just putting wise, there's just something there that it's just not quite as good as.
Is it something technical?
Yes. Well, look at the way he holds the putter, and you have to sort of think to yourself, you know, there's a slight little kind of a fear there, I would have said, and getting fast greens and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Peter, can I ask you a question about Justin Rose's swing, which I agree is stunningly beautiful. Yeah. He does that thing, you know, he takes that long, big, wide backswing, and then he kind of drops into the slot.
Yeah.
And you can see it particularly in that practice swing when he's kind of he just practices just the drop into the slot. What is that? Like, what is it about that particular move that makes his swing so consistent? Rather than kind of go up the line and down the line again.
It means that he can get it, he can hit it from the inside, Fionn, and then he can release it as hard as he wants. And that's why he's got so long, that he's able to release it. If you swing it on the one plane, you kind of have to hold it off a little bit to hit it straight. And it's very difficult to either draw or fade it from that position. But Justin is, you know, the work that he's done on his swing, if you look back on a couple of videos from, say, 5-6 years ago to what it is now, it's nearly pure perfection now, to be honest with you.
It's
from
beautiful.
Start to finish, yeah. He swings it the best out of the whole lot of them, I think so, yeah.
More than Rory?
More than Rory, yeah. Rory has a few funky moves.
You trust that you would swing
that
more?
That you wouldn't teach.
Like what?
Okay.
Well, he has kind of if they analysed Rory's swing and if you look at his driver swing, he nearly reverse pivots in it. You know what I mean? His hips go a certain way and then they kick backwards.
Whereas what? Rose
but is that because he's trying to...
Yeah.
Regular flow.
But isn't
exactly.
It... Sorry, Peter, is that not because, and I've heard Rory talk about this, is that he's trying to hit up on the ball with the driver?
Possibly. Look, Rory's probably one of the best drivers of the ball out there. But when you go to iron play and stuff like that, he's not the most consistent iron player in the world. While if you look at Justin Rose's game, he's far more consistent from driver through to sand wedge than Rory would be. Rory's game is a bit like Dustin Johnson, where he creates an awful lot of power, and sometimes that's hurtful when you're hitting in, you know what I mean, from 70, 80, 90 yards.
Because I was reading or watching or something, is that in the perfect world, the ideal golf game would mean that you would hit 4 degrees up on the driver and 4 degrees down on every other club. But there is no golfer in the world who can alter his golf swing consistently and effectively to the point that they have like an upswing on the driver and then a consistent downswing, you know, 4 degrees into each and every iron they hit. So is that kind of related to what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
okay, fair enough.
Golf is, you know, they've really tried to put golf by numbers now. You know what I mean? And I don't think it was ever meant to be that way. And it's not like you can't think of, okay, I'll hit 4 degrees up on this and hit 4 degrees down and everything
else. Unless you're Bryson DeChambeau.
We're going to have to tear through this because there's another podcast, not as important, but still another one looking to get into studio. Let's get on to our boy then, Jordan Spieth. Played the Masters 5 times, has only finished outside the top 3 once, but this year he has played 8 events, 2 missed cuts, no top 10s, the 109th best scoring average on the PGA Tour. But signs of life last weekend, Peter.
It was a glimmer.
That's all we need.
It was a glimmer.
What more do you want?
I
peak in the week before.
No, I would...
Here, just on that.
No, hold on.
Quick one before we get into that, while I think of it. Rory McIlroy said at the start of the year, one of the reasons he wasn't playing the Irish Open was that he wanted to play the week before every major. Where was he last week?
Off.
My bloody point.
Exactly. Doesn't like Texas.
How?
Maybe he was playing somewhere else.
Maybe he meant practice. So what you're saying, he was probably in Augusta, I presume.
Yeah.
Get in there early. All right. Go on, Jordan Spieth.
Okay,
make
Jordan
your case.
Spieth. I would have loved, yes. I think, did you text me on Friday to say me about Jordan? Or, I don't know, I saw it. Or maybe
I certainly was thinking about it.
Look, delighted to see him back somewhat. Delighted to say that...
Oh, you're not.
I am. No, to be fair, I don't dislike Jordan in any shape or form. I just called it out very early to say that if he lost his putting, he was a very average golfer. And he has proven that fact over the last while, so I've proved correct. But moving swiftly onwards from that one, because I hate saying I told you so, he has seen signs of glimmering of hope over the last couple of weeks, but his putting will have to improve to go through the rest of his game. He has had a glimmer of hope last week, but Saturday and Sunday were not very good. So let's see what happens at the Masters.
Well, he has said that they have got to the root of the problem and that surely confidence levels, the second he...
The root of the problem is being able to hold a 5-footer under pressure at any given time. That's the problem.
Bjorn, he's going to do it, isn't he?
I want him to. I don't think he will, though. I have to say, I reluctantly agree with Peter. I think...
Thanks, Bjorn.
Or maybe what I'm doing is it's a bit like
reverse
Liverpool.
Psychology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Manchester City are just unstoppable. There's nothing they can do.
You can't stop them. There's nothing you can do.
It's out of our hands.
It's just about preparing myself for that disappointment. I'm reading the obstacle is the way. That's what it is. I'm just... No.
When you're standing in the middle of the road and the juggernaut is coming at you and that's the obstacle, do you step out of the way or do you just accept the juggernaut's going to hit you?
Well, what if you've previously stepped out of the way at all every time you've been in that part of the road?
Yeah.
Well... Okay, let's move back onto golf, will we?
It's the same reason. I just think I'd be so happily shocked if Spieth were to be able to put 4 really good rounds together. I think he has 1.5 really good, like exceptional rounds. But I haven't seen anything over the last 18 months that he has 4 good rounds in him. And
here it is. It's going to play out like this, Fionn. He's going to be up at the leaderboard after round one. He's going to be average round two, and then he's going to go flat in his face.
But play brilliantly round 4 and back himself into a top 10.
You're not seeing that, Nathan. No?
I just believe in this man more than any other. Wow. I still just think there's something about Augusta that he will be able to turn it on.
Okay.
Go on, Nathan. Who else?
Well, to wrap.
Are we going to talk about Tiger?
We haven't heard Fionn's...
Well, we're going to get that after this. Tiger. Okay, so putting is the issue for Tiger as well, obviously. He's going through the worst putting season of his career, following on from the previous worst putting season of his career.
Because he doesn't practice as much as he did. And he says himself, his back gets sore, so he just can't put in the hours. And he is stuck in this management of his own practice where he has to divide less time to different aspects of his game. And whereas Tiger's practicing was legendary, he could spend 10 hours out there day after day after day after day. He just can't do that anymore. So things are going to suffer. And he says it himself. He can't. And so we have to accept a new and not quite so improved Tiger Woods.
I agree with Fionn.
God damn it. This consensus is not making for entertaining podcasts.
I agree with Fionn, and I tell you why. Because he's passed, I wouldn't say, past the sell-by date in relation to dominating tournaments. He will not dominate another golf tournament. He will win golf tournaments. Whether he wins majors or not, I have said before, I don't think so, because the standard is too high out there. Mm.
The only way you can make a case for Tiger, and it's not really a valid way of making a case, is that somehow he's been calling our bluff for the last 6 months. He looks tired all the time. He looks coming down the 18th of a first round, of a fourth round, like an old man.
Yeah.
And the counter to that is he led the Open Championship in the back nine last year. He's won the Tour Championship. He's won this four times. He knows how to get it done.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You just, it's a struggle to see him getting into contention and staying there on Saturday and Sunday.
I agree with you.
But it's all those positives, Nathan, that you point out is the reason why we're even having a conversation about him. And because he's Tiger Woods. But that's it. That's exactly it. Nobody knows this course better than Tiger Woods. Although, you'd have to argue, Mickelson knows it really well. You know, like he played it. Rory McIlroy knows it really well. Like, it's not molecular physics. It's golf. And so, you know to be on the right side of the green on the second. You know not to be here on the fifth. You know, like, after a while, like, these things just become part of the knowledge of the golf course. What Tiger Woods has is he knows how to win at Augusta.
I still think he needs to turn up tomorrow, start well, and sort of come out and go, you know what, I've been doing something different for the last 3-4 months. I've changed my gym schedule. I haven't really been concentrating on those events. I've just been waiting for this week. I've been trying to make sure I have my energy reserves in place for this week. And then you go, all right, you were holding something back. It just doesn't look like he was holding anything back.
Mm.
So what you got for us, Fionn? Who is your second tip?
Francesco Molinari.
Why?
British Open, 5 points of the Ryder Cup, winner of the Race to Dubai, won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He has transformed his game. He is long, he is straight, he is consistent, but more importantly, his headspace has been absolutely turned around. This is a guy who believes he can win and who has proven that he is there, thereabouts. He's more even than Dustin Johnson. He's my guy, I think, this week. And also, there'd be a beautiful little cap to the story in that in 2006, he caddied for his brother Eduardo at Augusta, who was there as U.S. amateur champion. So it would be the first time in Masters history that a caddy came back to win.
You would have played quite a bit, I imagine.
Yes, and Francesco. Mm. Both of them, two lovely lads. Hard to believe, actually, Eduardo is the older brother, because Francesco looks older than him.
And yes, he speaks like this, very interesting Eduardo, man.
Back in the day.
I would question Francesco being in contention, right in contention, rather than sort of finishing out early and winning before, you know, shooting like 64, 65 and on a Sunday. And winning the tournament before everybody finishes.
What do you mean? You don't think he has the bottle if he's in a fight down the back nine?
Yes.
Wow.
Why? Has he not proven from his match play record that he relishes those situations?
He in a match play situation is totally different than an actual stroke play golf tournament, 72 holes. Because you're only playing against
his record. Obviously, isn't great. His best finish at Augusta is tied for 19th. But you sort of have to look at his career in two different strands. There is pre Dave Allred and post.
It proves how good this guy Dave Allred is.
Mm.
It really does.
If you're going back on tour, you need to chat to him.
Well, that could be the thing. He brought Porrick to where he got to. He brought Luke Donald, Paul Casey. And Francesco Molinari.
Peter, you play. So as you say, you've played with Francesco and Eduardo. But so if you played with Francesco, what's the most glaringly obvious difference between Francesco then and Francesco now? I mean, I know we all know we've all heard it's Dave Allred and it's. But like, do you see anything else? Is there a mechanical shift? Is there anything else in Francesco's game that is different?
Yeah, he's definitely changed it quite considerably. He hits it much further now than he ever did.
His rate of increase in how far he's driving the ball is insane.
Yeah, but he always had the power, but he never used it.
Why?
You know,
he was just holding something back.
I don't know. He always had, exactly. Yeah, he just hit it down the middle, and then he realized actually I can actually hit it much further and be as straight, which proves you know where he is today. But no, Dave has really helped him, and he is where he is today because of it.
All right, give us your Masters winner.
Okay, can I give you a couple of outsiders for bets?
Yeah.
Right. Really good value for a top 10 finish, and you're gonna laugh at me like you did last year with Tony Fenu. Charles Schwartzel. Okay.
A winner.
Former winner. He is. I think he's over 100-1 to win. And I fancy Justin Thomas.
Oh, that's a good one.
God damn
that's
it! So do I.
So that's a very good shirt.
That's where I'm at. But I've got this sneaky suspicion about Charles Schwartzel. I don't know why. I said it this morning to a guy and he started to laugh at me and he says, hold on, I'll ring a mate of mine who's very good at tipping in golf. And the mate said Charles Schwartzel. So there you go.
Charles Schwartzel, wow. 150-1.
Right. So do.
What about Freddie at 400s?
Stop.
So there you go, 150-1. You guess what is the top 10? Put a tenner on, who knows?
I just want either Rory, Tiger, or Spieth to win. Just for the story, I'll be happy with them. I do like Matt Fitzpatrick, 90-1. I think he can just sort of plot his way around.
Are you actually interested in this podcast?
Justin Thomas.
No,
Justin Thomas.
Not.
I'm all over
I really, like what? Jordan Spieth.
You're allowed to give Charles Schwartzel 150. I'm allowed to give Matt Fitzpatrick.
But the viewers might actually think that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I've got plenty of winners. Don't you worry. Don't you worry
Come
about
here,
that.
Come here, Nathan.
Go on.
Nathan.
He'll be watching the football.
You know that Joe won a 9-hole comp on Saturday?
I didn't. And do you know what's more?
Yeah,
And he didn't get lessons from me either.
And I won.
Because I've given up.
I won the comp the week before in my golf club.
Wow.
I'm just saying, Nathan. Peter's a winner. I'm just saying, come on.
By the way, hold on a second.
You won 10 years ago.
You cried off last week sick. Are you all right?
I was. I'm just about. Thank you.
We didn't get a sick note in, though.
I was diagnosed with mild bronchitis.
Oh.
Right.
Your huskiness could have added something.
Yeah.
Listen.
Myself and Joe are here all by ourselves.
The
Nathan
snotty
abandoned
nose.
Us.
Oh, yeah. But Nathan, I'm just saying, is that like...
I need to deliver.
We need to get back out.
We need to finish because this guy's banging on the door.
We need to finish before we get back out. All right, we'll be back next week with a full review of Jordan Spieth. Peter Lowry, egg in his face.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to them. Good luck. All my exes wear Rolexes, but I reside right here in Dardanelle, all picket now. Little JD starter kit right here.